after worship, we are going to burn the mortgage. But just let me say, you ought to stay, because my creative uses did not end with Congregation Appreciation Sunday. I'm sort of proud of actually what I'm going to offer to you after worship. It was a stretch. So last week in Huntersville, a woman named Mary, went to see her pastor. Said, "Pastor, I got a real problem. I got the sin that I cannot seem to control. But every Sunday when I get to worship, I look around the congregation, I look at all the other women, and I realize I am the prettiest woman there. No one in the entire church has my great beauty. What can I do about this sin?" Pastor looked at Mary. He said, "Why, Mary, that's not a sin. That's just a mistake." Our world, so often we live lives that are built on mistakes. Sometimes it's that fooling ourselves mistake. Looking how pretty we are by what other people see on the outside, while ignoring or covering up what is not so pretty on the inside. Sometimes we live that relationship-killing mistake of lifting ourselves up by putting others down. Sometimes that life-at-risk mistake of not living our lives by the values and the forever-lasting ways of God, and instead, betting our lives on the values, the superficial, and the short-lived ways of our culture. These and so many other life-limiting mistakes put our lives in danger. They will destroy our marriages and our families, our children, our jobs, our future, our hopes. Well, today, Jesus offers to move us from these life-limiting mistakes to life as it is meant to be. He does this by our next addition to his series, where he offers us competing voice choices. And we decide which voice we're going to listen to, and we'll know how we decide by how we think and what we say, what we do, our decisions, and our desires. Jesus offers this voice choice today from the 6th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. Jesus has just finished what is called in Luke the Sermon on the Plain, which is the Luke version of Matthew's Sermon on the Mount. And he's been laying out how it is that God can bear great, beautiful fruit in our lives, and in Luke's word, to fill us with great rewards, great blessings. If you've been in this church more than one Sunday, you've heard some or all of these words. Be kind, he says. Be merciful. Do for others as you would have them do for you. Be humble. Do not judge. Take out of your life whatever it is that gets in the way of living the life that Jesus wants for you. Do not be angry. Forgive. Ask for forgiveness. Give what others need. Do what is good. Love. Love your neighbors. Love and pray for and do good for those who persecute you. As Jesus finishes these astounding words, he offers us our voice choice and proclaims that our lives will depend on which verse, which voice we listen to. Here's what Jesus says. "So why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? My words are not mere additions to your life, some homeowner improvements to your style of living. They are foundation words, words to build your life on. For everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice is like a person building a house who digs down deep and lays the foundation on rock. And when the floods come and the winds blow and the storm strikes that house, it will not be shaken, for it is well built, it is built on rock. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a person who builds a house on sand without a foundation. When the storm strikes that house, it will collapse. Its destruction will be complete." See, Jesus offers us these two voice choices on which to bet our lives and our relationships with others. To build our lives on the rock of not only hearing God's words, but living the words of Jesus. Or we can listen to the voice of sand that lures us away, that says, all you got to do is listen to the words. Just show up and worship once a week. But don't worry about doing what you hear. Rock or sand. Now, right here, if you don't remember anything else about this message, which is a good chance, I want you to grasp this truth. Jesus does not say these words to us to burden us or make us feel guilty or make us feel bad. Jesus gives us these words to bless us as he assures us just before he turns to this rock and sand voice choice. He says, if you will do live like I lay out for you, then your life will be blessed. In fact, God will shower you, he says, will pour down on you great rewards. This is the promise he makes in his last day before his crucifixion in the Gospel of John, when he said, if you will do what I command you, you will live life to the full, full of the life blessings of God. Jesus gives us these words, not only, my friends, to bless us, but to protect us. For my friends, in every life will come, maybe today, maybe some other day, the winds, the floods, and the storms. And they will strike our lives. And they will threaten to destroy our marriages and our families and our children and our futures and our jobs and our hopes. And if we are not living the words we hear, then this is what will happen. That's us. On the other hand, if we build our lives on the solid rock of living Jesus' words, he will get us through the storm. We will not, Jesus says, be shaken. Our lives will look like this. That's our choice. Sinking sand, solid rock. Last week, we modeled our persistently hot prayer life in part on the mantra of the Panthers, that is to keep pounding in your prayer life. Well, today, Jesus is urging us to make our voice choice based on this very loud voice that pours out on Bank of America Stadium when the Panthers are in danger, which happens a lot in the fourth quarter, as we know. And here are the words that pour out when the Panthers are in danger. They are these words, we must protect this house. Jesus gives us these words, my friends, to protect your house, your home, your family, the home inside of you in your heart. Jesus wants to not only bless us, but protect this house, this house. Jesus calls us to listen to and live his solid rock words. You must protect your house, he says. Your home, your life. For, he says, we are in danger. The voices of sinking sand are all around us, luring us, threatening us to step into the sinking sand. Which voice do you want to listen to? The voice that leads our lives to be like this or like this. It's our choice. Sinking sand, solid rock. Well, this is how we will know whether we've decided to bet our lives, protect or not protect our homes, by being lured away to only hear the words of Jesus and not live them. Betting our lives on sinking sand. We hear Jesus' solid rock words that says, be kind, be merciful. But instead we see ourselves fault-finding, angry, constantly criticizing, always putting down. When we hear Jesus' solid rock words that says, forgive, ask forgiveness, pray for. And do good for those who persecute you, Jesus says. But instead, we see ourselves holding a grudge, giving the silent treatment, keep bringing up all that old stuff, persecuting and prosecuting, failing to see and ask forgiveness for that huge log in our own eye. We hear Jesus' solid rock words, "Do not worry, do not be anxious about anything, but instead focus on doing the things of God." And the promise is that God will guard your heart with His peace that whatever happens in your life, those storms and winds and floods cannot take away. But instead, we see ourselves relying on ourselves, hanging on to our pride and self-reliance, seeking the be happy ways of our world. Those habits and addictions, money, stuff, popularity, mind-numbing entertainment, and those torture devices, those addictions of those technological things that we just stare at to get away from living the words of Jesus, relying on Him, not on something that takes your mind off of what He wants for us. We hear Jesus' solid rock voice, "Give what others need. Do for others as you would want done for you and your family." Instead, we see ourselves living self-centered, self-focused. It's all about me and my lives. Now, friends, do not miss this. When we do not do the words that we hear Jesus say, whatever it is for you, we do not need to wait for the winds and the storms to strike us. We are creating them and inflicting themselves on ourselves. And the lives that could have been like this end up like that. What is it for you? Rock, sinking sand. Hear the words and go home, or hear the words and live them. I know that everyone here wants to build our lives and our relationships on the solid rock of living the words of Jesus. And I know personally, however, that some of us, at least me, we find ourselves, despite the logic and the promise, deciding to listen to that voice that says, "Sinking sand is where you belong, brother." So how can we protect this house, our homes and our lives? Well, Jesus gives us some rock-solid life strategy. This is the first, He says. Dig out the garbage between you and Him to be able to live a rock-solid life. You see, Jesus points to the rock-solid strategy when He says the wise person does what? He digs down deep to lay the foundation. Why is He doing that? Because there's something between that surface and down here where the solid rock of words, the living words of Jesus are, and you've got to clear all that stuff out. We cannot get to the rock of living the words of Jesus until we dig down and get out the garbage, my friends. The stuff that Jesus does not want in our lives, that gets in His way. But too often, this is me, too often we just decide we're going to ignore that garbage. We cover it over, we keep whatever it is in our lives, and somehow hope to change our lives. See, I think we get used to the garbage. We might even love the garbage. We don't even smell it anymore. We don't even see it anymore. We don't realize that it is undermining what could be for us. I learned this in the construction business. Some of y'all know that, some of our visitors don't know. I was a lawyer for 35 years. And I just shifted over to being a lawyer for Jesus instead. But I used to represent a lot of construction companies, and I'll never forget the day that one of my clients, an owner of an apartment building, called me in a loud voice, even louder than mine maybe, in total shock, when he said, "I can't believe this, Fred, but that apartment building I own over there, one end of it is sinking into the ground and the rest of the whole building is going with it." Well, we discovered that the contractor, apparently thinking it'd be easier and no doubt cheaper, he built that end of the building on trash. And he said, "Oh, you know, I know how to handle this," and tell us this, of course. He just covered it over with a lot of dirt, hoping that would work. He even compacted that dirt. But the problem is, even though the surface looks good, even while it looks solid, down underneath, that trash starts to rot. It starts to shift. And that end of the building starts to sink. And do not miss this point. When one end starts to sink, the whole thing, Jesus says, collapses. It will be, Jesus says, totally destroyed. That garbage you're hanging on to is going to bring the whole house down, Jesus says. So, this is what happens. We do not take the time, do not make the effort, are not honest enough to dig out and get rid of the garbage. And the only way to get rid of the garbage, my friend, is to confess it. To admit, Jesus, I have this garbage in my life. And I need your help to dig it out. Admit it to someone else. Just saying it to yourself, friends. It's talking to you. Everybody needs an accountability person in their life. And I don't know, this is probably not a good thing to say with my spouse sitting on the front row. It's really not always your spouse. Because, you know, there's so much baggage, so much history, that really, this room is full of Christian friends. And you need to come, and maybe it can be me, and say, I want to confess to you this garbage I have in my life, and work with me to get it out. Because if we will, Jesus promises, you will not only be not shaken by the storms, but your reward will be great. That's that dichotomy, that I guess the two things that go together that people who build skyscrapers understand, that the further you go down, the higher you can go up. I had the great privilege of sitting in Parker Poe and watching Duke Energy build its building. And they went for months and months, maybe John's now in that building. They went for months and months and months going down, down, down. They had trucks, they had roads. It went so far, I thought, we're going to discover what's down there. And when somebody starts speaking Chinese, we know we're already there, right? So they dug this big, huge hole, but what they knew is the further down they went, the higher up they could be. The same is true for us. The deeper we go down, the more stuff we get out of our lives, the more we dig down, the higher our lives can soar. Like that. And the way we can move from digging down to building up is by Jesus' second solid rock strategy, which is to practice. Jesus instructs us through our scripture this morning, the wise person practices my words. And Jesus knows that confession and well-meaning friends who want to help us get this stuff out of our lives, well, that's a bunch of words. In order to get the garbage out and actually build up, then we need to practice what Jesus says. And the word that Luke uses for practice in Greek means to work at repeatedly until proficient, to make it a habit. Paul gives the same rock-solid strategy advice in his letter to Timothy. He says, train yourself by practicing these things in God's word, and then you will know good from evil, and you and others will avoid evil lives, he says. This is practical advice. Train yourself in digging out the garbage and building up your life to what Jesus wants us to be. Let me pray these focused prayer for you for this. Let me walk this journey, or someone else walk this journey with you. And the main thing I hope you will do is not only pray about it, but go to God's word and say, God, what do you say to me about the garbage? And how do you take that garbage out of my life and build me up? And then you pray those words every morning. And at the end of every day, you review how you've done in practicing, actually doing what it is Jesus calls you to do. This morning, and we had this standing room only crowd to find out about Islam. And one of the great beauties and powers of Islam is they pray five times a day, before sunrise, afternoon, middle of afternoon, after sunset, and at night. Five times a day, on their face, asking for God, not to help them in some specific way, but to help them walk His straight path in their life. Suppose we prayed like that on our face five times a day. Some word of God that He gives to you about your garbage, and about how your life can be built up. And you keep those words in your mind so whenever you start smelling the garbage, when you start seeing in some relationship or something you're doing in your life, and you start stepping in that sinking sand, you pray those words right then and there and step away. Practice doing at least just one thing that Jesus wants you to do with your life. Experts say that it takes 65 days to develop a new habit, a new practice for Jesus. Well, I have done the math, and my math is if you start today, which is January the 24th, 2016, and you practice at least one rock-solid word in your life will not only get rid of the garbage, it will be soaring to new heights, and the culmination will be 2 days after Easter. What a great resurrection celebration that can be for you. That this garbage that's pulling you down and sinking you down is gone. And man, you're building up this beautiful new thing in your life so that your life will not be like this. That, by the way, is what happened to Sally's father's house after he sold it at low tide to some unsuspecting buyer. Pretty much. I think that may be your house, honey. But instead, it can be like this. But here's the really cool thing. Not only will your life soar, your influence, and your practicing, doing the words of Jesus, here's what's going to happen to the lives around you. That you're going to lift up all those people whose lives are entrusted to you. Boy, what a resurrection present that would be if we're willing to take the time to get out the garbage, practice what Jesus calls us to do. Yet, there will be times when we are lured away by the sinking sand voices, and we hear the solid rock voice of Jesus, but we just don't do it. We're tempted to give up hope that our lives could ever be any better. I know people who give up hope that their lives could ever change, that their marriage could ever change, that their child could ever change, that their job could ever be something that they really cared about. This is what we need to hear what happened. When those people at Chase Manhattan Bank were about to build their building in Manhattan, and somehow they purchased about the only place on that whole granite solid rock island that was not rock, it was sand. True story. And so the bank went to the geologist and said, well, how long would it take that sand to turn into rock? Geologist said, about another 10 million years. Another 10 million years. And they said, well, we don't have much time. And so they went to these chemists who knew about, had really studied this kind of formation and this particular kind of sand. And they treated it with a compound of sodium salicylate and sodium chloride. And in 6 weeks, that sand had turned into a solid foundation. The Chase Manhattan Bank rose. So, Jesus wants to offer us this ingredient that can move us from this sinking sand in which our lives now are to solid rock. And hold on to this now, Jim. Don't get ahead of me, all right? You with me? So what he offers us is something I'll bet everybody here remembers who's been here before. And that is he uses a metaphor for us of a protein called laminin. How many people here remember laminin? I know the quick chat remembers this, right? Uh-oh. So laminin is this life-giving protein in your body. It is the protein that holds your whole body together. It is this glue-like substance that pulls together the cells that belong together. In other words, the laminin makes it possible for you to have a liver, not something else. And it differentiates between cells so that it pushes the liver cells over here and the kidney cells over here so you don't have just one big kidney, which sometimes can be helpful. But this, you have all these different organs because of laminin. Your skin is on your body and holding your body together with laminin. And here, my friends, is what laminin looks like. That. That look like something familiar to you? What does it look like? Exactly. So what laminin looks like up here and does for your life, holding it together and making it healthy, this is what the cross of Jesus offers us. On the cross, Jesus died to take out of your life the stuff that didn't belong with you and pulls together the stuff that makes you healthy and gives you life and holds your whole life together. So what Jesus says to us this morning is, you may have all this garbage in your life, but what I want to do is I want to be the glue that and the life-giving protein pulls this stuff away and lifts up your life and pulls it together in some healthy way. And so right now, my friend, we're going to take the time and pray about that. So it's not just words this morning. I want to pray in your heart. And this is going to be what some people object to. I'm going to guide your prayer. Is that okay with you? Not okay with you. It's going to happen anyway, all right? So I want you all to be quiet for a moment, and I'm going to offer to walk you through a prayer this morning. So let's pray. Dear Jesus, we pray that right now you will lay on the hearts of each precious child here some garbage, that's getting in the way of the person that you want them to be, getting in the way of some relationship that seems like it's hopeless or dying. Lay that on our hearts and let us confess it to you. Now, dear Jesus, lay on our hearts some word from you. Maybe one of these words that I lifted up this morning. Be kind and merciful, forgiving, passionate, giving, looking at the log in our own eye, loving our enemies, praying for those who persecute us. Some word from you, Lord, that will help us dig out the garbage. Now, dear Jesus, lay on our hearts some thing we can do, something we can practice to begin making this garbage out, your life in, into our lives. Something we can do and will do over the weeks ahead. Lay it on our hearts. What can it be? Now, dear Jesus, just pour into every person's life here today that nothing is hopeless, that you're going to take these prayers that you heard in their hearts this morning, and you'll forgive whatever needs to be forgiven, and you will give the strength and the power to start anew. And come Easter, in every life here, there's going to be some beautiful resurrection celebration. Some new way in their life. No longer stepping into that sinking sand, but stepping up, standing on that rock solid ground. So when the winds come and the storms strike, we will not be shaken, but instead we will be blessed. Thank you, Jesus, for forgiving us. And thank you, Jesus, always for giving us what we need to start again and to live anew on solid ground.